today we want to talk about choosing life, and now is the time to do that. Certainly Yahweh is working out something great and something to be considered in our lives as we not only see the problems in the world, but we know that Yahweh's word is true. So we know that there are prophecies, both terrifying at times when we read them, but also a great blessing for those that he calls out and gives insight to and gives the opportunity to obey him and to draw close to him and actually become part of the family. There are plain prophecies given in the Old Testament about events we see today, and there are parables with prophecies of end times judgments explained within them, and we'll look at both. We'll look at the severity of ignoring Yahweh and his ways in our lives, and alternatively, accepting the calling and obedience of him now, accepting of his son's sacrifice in our lives today. Those of us who study the Bible are truly blessed. We have the records from the patriarchal and apostles' times. The current resources and study tools are vast and knowledgeable. And with this thought, two scriptures should come to mind and into sharper focus. Daniel 12 and verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Notice, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. You know, there's time-lapse videos out there of major cities and highways, and it's just amazing. And there are four, five, six lanes, and they're just full of cars going back and forth here, to and fro. And then, of course, there's the internet, and there's all these things. Knowledge is increasing. Did Daniel have any idea of what was coming? And yet he was given insight to speak these words. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. But he that knew not and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom they commit much, of him they will ask the more. And so there's a blessing here, actually, knowing that as we receive, we can receive more, but we'll be responsible, and the expectation is that we'll need to do something. And there's compassion being shared here for those who did not know, but yet did things worthy of stripes. Their punishment will not be that severe compared to those that did know and did not do what they should have done. And so that's a warning to us as well. So there's a lot of things here. This latter verse reminds me of Joshua on the torture stake saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But what about the ones who do know what they're doing? What about us? Well, we've all read about the wheat and tares, and you know, what time frame was the parable of Joshua referring to? Let's take a look. Matthew 13, 39 through 40. The enemy who sowed them, that is the tares, is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. You know, as we go through this, you're going to find that we're going to be talking about end days, end of the age, the time period. We know that time is running out. And we see the things in the world, and the signs of the times are becoming more clear. Scriptures such as, Joshua referring to Moses, the times at the end would be like the times of Moses, marrying and being given in marriage, and we see that today. But we also see where he says, in the times of, like, as Lot in that time, so will the time of the end be. Well, what was it like back in Sodom and Gomorrah? I think we're seeing very clearly these things coming about in our day. So how close are we? Well, we know we're getting closer. Let's continue on here. Let me just start over. The enemy who sowed them, the tares, is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in fire, so it will be at the end of this age. Sometimes we hear of really weird doctrines, and we're just talking about this. Serpent seed doctrine, the flat earth. Even ones that, like the Seventh-day Sabbath somehow starts on the new moon, or the name of the Savior is actually Yahweh Shua, now that the Savior is in heaven. But when he was on earth, he was called Yahshua. And so salvation is only in the heavenly name, which was a different name than what he was called on the earth. What? These type of things are being taught today. And so we have to be very careful, because things like the Seventh-day Sabbath, set apart from creation, all scholars have to do is go back to the time of the Messiah and see that that hasn't changed. But to try to convert that to a different idea that somehow is counted from the moon is false, and it destroys a number of areas of Scripture. Because of that, these are really dangerous doctrines, weird, strange, doctrines of demons, possibly. Demons presenting ideas of light, but they're really no light at all. They're darkness. But for those from the outside looking in, it's hard to discern at times. But Yahweh is calling out a people. He helps give insight. He helps an individual draw close to him. But we know that that Satan is producing tares. He's doing his own planting. And this is something that we have to recognize today. There are problematic times at the end of the age. Various doctrines being proclaimed by so-called brothers. A parable of Yahshua that we may not be familiar with is the parable of the net. Let's go to Matthew 13, 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore. And they sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, that's a pretty clear parable. I don't think that's very, shouldn't be that confusing to us. It kind of goes to the, goats and the sheep and these type of things that other areas talk about. And we'll touch upon those. But the common point of time in both these parables is the end of the age. Could it just be we're getting really close to that time now? If so, what do we do? Even if not so, what do we still need to do? Well, we do just like what Yahshua said. Matthew 10, verses 14 through 15. If I happen to put up a slide here and it's not the proper scripture, just go ahead and let me know, because as we have so many to go through, it's possible I might miss one, but I'll try not to miss any. Matthew 10, 14 through 15. And whosoever did not receive you, nor hear your words. In other words, they don't understand and they don't want to. When you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. That kind of goes back to the other scripture we had talked about, seeing there's going to be some different judgments. It's not that everyone's going to be, going to the lake of fire. It's not going to be that way. And yet, a lot of people get scared from these fire and brimstone false teachers, essentially, because they're not even teaching the law of Yahweh to anyone. They're just teaching grace, love, and faith, and that by itself is not correct. It's untrue. And by those ministers' own actions, they prove themselves to be false shepherds. But these ideas we have to correct, we have to consider and teach correctly. But in thinking about Matthew 10, 14 through 15, we do outreach in various ways, but in talking to some, it is like talking to a brick wall. And with others, you know, they want to argue with us, which is, quite frankly, unfruitful. And some of us already have that experience, knowing that it's unfruitful. And you can tell who is interested and who's not, being insincere or sincere. So some do understand, and they ask reasonable questions. They are the ones that Yahweh can work with and, in fact, is most likely calling out of the world. Yahshua asked the disciples if they understood all that he was telling them would take place at the end of the age. And they said, "Yes, Master," and most likely with a bit of trepidation, a bit of fear, because they recognize how bad it's going to be just by how it was being described, that a lot of people would just not do well. But the question we should ask ourselves, how much more severe will the judgment be for those that do believe but don't do what they're instructed to do? Wouldn't it be defiant sinning to understand and then go on sinning anyway? Sin is knowing what to do and not doing it according to Yahweh's ways. Sin is breaking Yahweh's instructions, plainly given in 1 John 3:4. Again, sin is knowing what to do and not doing it. Living in sin essentially means death. The original curse of sin is death. Yahweh has given all judgment over to the Son, and he has the ability to blot out willful sinners from the very book of life. He said he would spew out of his mouth those whose deeds are neither cold nor hot. Brethren, I am speaking to those who are baptized in Yahshua's name. We are warned not to become lukewarm, and if we do become this way, then we are to recognize it, repent, and once again become zealous for Yahweh's word and way of life. We are warned that we can lose out in the end, even if we start out good. Look at Judas, who ended up betraying Yahshua. John 6:70. Yahshua answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is now," in brackets, "a devil?" Yahshua specifically chose 12 to be the foundation for the rest of the first fruits to come. But Judas, having been prophesied, ended up turning into a type of vessel for dishonor. He was originally even given the ability to do miracles, we find in Matthew 10:1. But he didn't endure and overcome to the end. He was, in fact, unfaithful. Hebrews 10:26. "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." In context of other scriptures, continuing in sin is essentially forsaking and walking away from Yahweh. The two verses before this says, in Hebrews 10:24 and 25, says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." We were talking about this earlier, just among ourselves. Some go and stop attending. They go and do their own thing. That leads to disobedience to Yahweh. We are to meet together on the Sabbath, and Sabbaths, plural, high days as well as the weekly Sabbath. It goes on here, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." The day of Yahweh, Yahshua's return. We know that there's going to be tribulation before Yahshua stands on the Mount of Olives. So we're to consider our time here. Not attending Sabbath services, if able to, is certainly a strong indicator of one's spiritual state. There is a story of an elder going and checking on a couple after they hadn't attended services for some time. They were regular attendees. I'm not sure if they were baptized or not. But he thought maybe they had taken ill or something. So he went out before the Sabbath was even over. I mean, they had gone, and so he went by their place. Turns out they were fine physically. They were doing yard work, mowing the lawn. They were living in unrepented sin, walking away from their calling, and you know, the calling to come out of the world, to stop sinning. That's what Yahshua came. He came to announce the kingdom. He also came to announce, the message to repent, that we are to repent. We are to stop doing our own will, start doing Yahweh's will, and live the way this book tells us to, His word. And so it's a matter of living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. We also have this admonition, 2 Peter 2, 20 through 21. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Master and Savior Yahshua the Messiah, and they are again entangled therein, and are overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to, after having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Turned away, they walked away, entangling themselves with the world to the neglect and forsaking of Yahweh. You know, Yahweh is very fair. He's going to give everyone an opportunity to serve Him. Not everyone is going to take that opportunity, even though it's given today. Others will have their opportunity later. And it's not this idea of a second chance stuff. It's a first opportunity for them when they come before Yahweh. There are those that have died not receiving knowledge of the truth and not having any idea. I'm sure there's a lot through the Middle Ages never really heard the word, and others, even going back into the first century, even though Yahshua was preaching and teaching and the disciples were sent out and others were sent out, there most likely would have been some that didn't hear the word. So they'll have their opportunity later. We have it right now. And it's just that simple. We won't have an excuse when Yahweh opens up our minds to see the truth of His word and how distorted the world is right now, especially right now. And we wonder why they don't see. But Yahweh is not calling out everyone. Yahweh is calling a precious few out, chosen to be first fruits. He's working out this overall plan. And it's a spectacular plan. And I don't know if we really fully comprehend all of it. I'm sure we don't. There's a number of things that we can't comprehend. Just looking at creation itself, for our finite minds, it's unfathomable. There are things, we see these nature shows every so often. I've watched quite a few, but every new nature show, there seems to be some new thing that I've never seen before. Some creature or something, a plant, a flower. It's like, wow. Or even scenery from around the world. The video production and being able to post on YouTube or these other video archival sites, and people going around traveling and taking photos, and some of the stuff that they're seeing and sharing is just amazing. And of course the oceans haven't even been really seen by man. I mean, they're starting to go down with the different submarines and such to see what's down there, but there's a lot that we haven't seen even in our own waters. And that's nothing really, I suppose, compared to the overall universe. And thinking about the size of things, and there are suns much greater than our sun in size and scope. And within our sun, I mean, you can fit something like a million of the Earths in our sun, and yet there are suns bigger than our sun. I mean, we're talking multiple times bigger. So they're seeing some of it. They haven't seen all of it. They're estimating the numbers, but the numbers keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger every time they say that they think there's 100 billion, you know, planetary bodies or stars in a galaxy, and there's 100 billion, you know, then the number gets bigger after that because they don't know it all. And so even Yahweh says in his word, you know, if you count the stars, you know, we can't, there's too many. Remember the parable of the salt, Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no good for nothing, or for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And as we heard in a recent message, it turns out they used to pave the streets with salt, essentially, to keep things from growing. So it was really fitting that he would have said, you know, thrown out, trampled underfoot, because people walked on it. And that's all it was good for, that salt. What about those in Messiah? We understand how it is for those among us who have made a decision to move forward in baptism and to follow, worship, obey, love, honor Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah. But what about those that hear the word, understand it, but then refuse to do anything about it? What reasons would a person have for not accepting the blood of Yahshua and following him? The list, regrettably, is too long for many. Luke 14:18-20. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray that you'd have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray that ye have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. In the parable of the wedding of the king, of the king's son, that is, we read of some of those invited, essentially called, in Matthew 22:5, says, but they made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his merchandise, and you could add to this list, one to his own whatever, his own hobbies, his own, you know. Seems that anyone hearing the message and learning about Yahweh's word should ask, does anything keep me from Yahweh? Does anything keep me from doing his will? Am I making light of his invitation? Certainly we must help an ailing parent or spouse. Certainly we must be respectful of the needs of others, especially in our own family. But do those things make us walk away from our calling? I can't keep the seventh day holy because you fill in the blank. Or I can't keep the feast of Yahweh because you fill in the blank. And the list goes on. I'm not saying you should say that or put your name to it. This is something to encourage you to not say that, to not do that, and to make use of the time that we're given, not to squander it away, but to be about our Father's business. There are those in situations where we have had to walk away from good-paying jobs, plural, families, plural. We were just talking about that too earlier. There are some family members they reject us, and even though we reach out to them, you know, sometimes it works out. Sometimes there's mending. I say that even for myself. I have seen Yahweh work a miracle in my own life, and so I see that, you know, that by example, I think is, and of course Yahweh's Spirit helping, but by example, the respect is now there, even though don't necessarily agree with what I'm believing, they see the fruits thereof, and they're saying it's okay. I'm thinking they're saying it's actually good, as I was told. So that's good. So it kind of gets down to even those that we talk to, they don't understand. The idea is when they do go before Yahweh, they'll be able to give him praise because of our good actions, because of what we've done that they see that was right and true. And now they fully understand, because now they really, their eyes have been open. You know, we can talk to people and their eyes are not opening. And I've talked till I was blue in my face when I was first immersed into Yahshua's name. I was excited. On fire. I've toned things down a little bit. Not that I've lost my first love or anything like that, but I've toned it down enough to where I'm discerning now more. I'm not just throwing it out and throwing it all out for everyone, because I realize not everyone is being called. But the thing that woke me up was I had a dream about this individual I kept talking to day after day after day at work, and in the dream he was just there, you know, like this. It wasn't phasing him. He wasn't understanding. I mean, opened up the scriptures to him, showed Yahweh's name and how many places it was. It didn't matter what page. It was there for him to see. But he couldn't see. So the hope is that when his day of visitation comes, when his eyes are open, he'll be able to see and be able to praise Yahweh and choose to live for him. But we're given that chance now, and I think others are given that chance now. We see a number of different things happening. We've actually seen some fully commit, be baptized, produce fruit, but then walk away. And that's a death sentence, essentially, a second, you know, lake of fire type spiritual death sentence. And we don't like to see that. But it gets down to the parable of the seed and sower. You know, what was prophesied by Yahshua in that. You know, some seed would fall on rocky ground. Others would get choked out by thorns and stuff. But there's seed that falls on good ground. And with that, a bounty, you know, comes forth. Fruit comes forth. And so Yahweh's word is true. His word will not come back to him void. He's working out things so that family will be built up. And things we see in the word concerning what's coming. Pretty remarkable. Some things are very sobering. The other things, you know, where Yahshua says he's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. That's very encouraging, because we know that eternal life is going to be much more joyous than our life here and now. And there are times when we're very joyous. Well, think of that many times, you know, multiplied, and with no pain, no suffering, no difficulties, no problems. Perfection. That's what's coming. And that's worth striving for and working towards and spending time with. and studying the Word and doing those things which are pleasing to Yahweh. But thinking about keeping the feasts and, you know, doing these things, you know, each situation is different, don't get me wrong. There are situations that you need to use some common sense and put your trust in Yahweh to provide a door, so to speak. Once it's revealed to you, once you see it, take it. Do not say no to Yahweh's calling. Make a plan, seek Yahweh's will, but don't say, I don't need to follow him. I don't need to do all this stuff. I have too much other stuff I need to do. I have demanding situations. Well, nothing should be so demanding that you disregard Yahweh. He's the father of us all. And as children, we should be obedient the best that we can. When Yahweh opens up our mind to the truth of his ways, it is our starting point and calling to start walking on the straight and narrow, to learn of his ways and actually do them. Is time running out? You ever seen an hourglass? Well, of course you have. We had one up here on the screen. Started out with the hourglass. You know, there's only so much time given once the grains of sand start falling. It has been roughly 6,000 years since Adam and Eve's big mistake, Adam and Eve's big sin. We have their record, along with many others that were written down for our admonition. Israel was a backsliding harlot at times, and the people suffered because of it. In the wilderness, for example, having been released out of Egypt's grip, all the Israelites beyond the age of accountability, the age of 20, died a first death because of their sins against Yahweh, and were not allowed to come into the physical promised land. Ezekiel 37, 5 through 6. Now they will all be raised to a physical people once again in the second resurrection. Ezekiel 37, 5 through 6 says, "Thus says Yahweh Elohim unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews on you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And you shall know that I am Yahweh." And while this seems to be pointing to a second resurrection overall, King David and other faithful patriarchs like Abraham will no doubt be brought into the coming kingdom before the majority of mankind is raised in the second resurrection. Maybe it will work out a little different, but from what we see in Scripture, that is apparently how it will be worked out. But, you know, it's not a salvational issue to know some of these things. And we shouldn't try to argue or fight one another over silly discussions that are really unfruitful. But it's not wrong to go in and study in the Word and discuss some of these things. Just don't argue about them. Jeremiah 23 and verse 20. The anger of Yahweh will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purpose of his heart. You know, Yahweh doesn't leave his people unaware, but tells us that what we will know, some things are very black and white concerning these last days. And here it says, in the last day, or last days, you will clearly understand it. Things are going to be revealed. The scroll of Daniel will be rolled out. And I used to talk about Daniel as Dan, my good buddy Dan. It's Daniel. So that's part of the reason we need to study, so we can communicate and not, you know, when we communicate to others about our beliefs, we're not telling them something that they know is not true. So let's study the Word and have an answer for those that ask of us, you know, for the reason why we're doing the things that we're doing. And let's be communicative. Let's communicate in such a way that they'll understand clearly. We don't have to be real smarty pants about anything, but we can be pretty clear and on the basics explain. Jeremiah 30, verse 24. The fierce anger of Yahweh will not turn back until he has performed and until he has accomplished the intent of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand this. You know, when society starts breaking down and the tribulation comes, yeah, we are definitely going to understand. Is this for Judah, you know, is this, this was Jeremiah 30 through, well, the basic book was talking about before the Babylonian captivity. Was it prophecy just for the Babylonian captivity? Well, I think in part, yes. But certainly a prophecy fitting for the end of the age and a warning to all of us as we see the societal evils today. Yet we know that there is a calm after the storm. Joshua gathering all of Israel, not Judah alone. We were talking about that earlier, actually. A lot of stuff in here we're actually talking about earlier. How, you know, sometimes when we come in, we just, there's a lot of things we don't understand still. We understand the basics, but then we start to grow and we get educated about, you know, whether Abraham was a Jew or not. Then we find out he wasn't. We find out through the lineage and the promises given that Israel is made up of a number of peoples, not all of them being Jews. So whether you, you know, understand that at this point, it's something to look into. We have studies on it. But some of the basic understandings that we have. And we know that in Messiah, you know, we're being grafted into Israel, essentially. Romans 9, 10, 11 explains that process. So there's some depth to it. So the time, or that time, is still in process and has been for the last 2,000 years approximately. And for the time, you know, when Joshua gathers the elect and comes as kings of kings over all the earth, I mean, that's prophecy that's coming, but he's coming for Israel. He's coming for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who is that? Again, this is where study comes in. Jeremiah 31 and verse 1. At that time, again, what time is this? At that time, declares Yahweh, I will be the Elohim of all the families of Israel, and they shall, I think we could insert all, be my people. Today we know more. Today Yahweh reveals to his people what he is doing and what is to take place before it happens. Doesn't mean we know everything, but we know enough to get our acts together before that time. He's calling us out as a peculiar people to be special unto him, to be a holy people, meaning set apart from the world, not to be acting like the world, not to be doing what the world is doing. I mean, we all have jobs and things to go to. We all have to make a living. But there are things that we're told to do. And sometimes we lose jobs because we're doing what Yahweh tells us to do rather than what man does. So be it. We have to follow Yahweh rather than men, as the book of Acts talks about. The opportunity is now to act, essentially, to choose life. There's a much greater promise built on the foundation of the apostles now. You know, we can read of that in Revelation 21, 14. Won't go there, but you know, eternal life is being offered now. And it's being offered for the first time, essentially, since Pentecost in the New Testament. Acts 2, 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as Yahweh our Elohim shall call. And the question should be asked, do you think that you're not called? Do you understand that Yahshua is the true name of Yahweh's Son, and that through that name and his shed blood, we have forgiveness of sins? And the idea is that we stop sinning, that we start turning our lives around and doing what Yahweh's will is, which is given in his word. From Genesis to Revelation. Consider your calling. Look at what is being offered. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 through 53. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Do we even understand what that's going to be like? I don't think so. I mean, we can talk about it, we can think about it, but I don't think we fully understand. And I think Paul expressed that very thought. We look in a mirror darkly. I mean, we kind of understand, but you know, until Yahshua returns, we're not going to fully understand what we're going to be like. But we'll be like him, essentially. He's coming in, you know, glory in a spirit. It's just going to be an amazing time. So, something to look forward to, but it's something that we don't fully comprehend. But we know that it's going to be a wonderful thing. A change so wonderful and awe-inspiring that we won't truly understand until that change comes. But it takes effort on our part to overcome ourselves and the world. So what is the alternative if we turn away from our calling and continue in sin, thus rejecting Yahweh? Well, we read in Revelation 21 through 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let's look at this again, but let's look at some of the wording. The fearful, timid, could be used for that. Unbelieving, basically faithless, unfaithful. Read Hebrews chapter 3 sometime towards the end there. It talks about Israel and how they were unfaithful, unbelieving, and it was equated with sin and lack of belief and faith. Abominable, detestable, vile, wicked, murderers is listed here. Hateful towards brethren. We know what Matthew chapter 5 talks about. Yahshua bringing up the law to a spiritual level for us. It's more intense now. It's not something we can just, ignore. But there's also premeditated killing, murderers. Whoremongers, essentially fornicators. I suppose you could throw in adulterers in there as well. But sorcerers, that's a word called pharmakos. It's where we get the word pharmacy from. It's a Greek 5:33. And essentially would be those that would rather get high than to focus on Yahweh. It's not to say that, the regular medicines are not good. I think scholars recognize Luke was probably a doctor along those lines. But even the trees in the kingdom, the leaves will be for healing. So there's medicinal things that we can do today. I'm going to have to look into that myself because of some health issues I'm starting to have as I get older. There's idolaters, putting anything between you and Elohim that keeps you apart from him and from the Savior. Liars, that's deceitful, deceiving, untrue, false. We were talking about false teachers earlier. But, this is, and really, even Paul said, men are without excuse. And creation itself attests to the fact that Yahweh exists. We want to go out and tell people to wake up. But we find that through prophecy, we find Yahweh blinding, causing blindness to fall upon the world. But for us, he's using his spirit to bring us out, to wake us up, to make us recognize what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen, so that we can get in line and be in the sheep line essentially, not the goat line. In the Bible, are we not told to choose life? Start making, taking the right steps to be right in Yahweh's sight. Say yes to his calling. Choose life. Strive to be a first fruit in the coming kingdom of Yahweh. Luke 13:24-28. Hope you can read all that. If not, just listen. Strive to enter. Strive. Put forth some effort. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and not be able to. When once the master of the house is risen and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock and at the door, saying, Master, Master, open up unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not where you're coming from, not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, well, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. I don't know where you come from. Depart from me, O you workers of iniquity. Who are these people? They're evidently hearing the truth, sharing some space with true believers, but yet they're workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of Elohim, and you yourselves thrust out. You know, Yahshua is alive in his people today. The body of Messiah is in the process of witnessing to the ends of the earth. In fact, Yahshua sternly warns us of the judgment concerning the figurative sheep and goats. Here in Matthew 25:44-45, Yahshua is specifically speaking to the goats and says of them, they, that is the goats, also will answer, Master, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for the least of these, who are they? The sheep? Maybe the sheep. If you didn't do it for them, you did not do it for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So there's a distinction. There's been a distinction from the very beginning. Yahweh says, make the distinction. Here's clean, here's unclean. Make that distinction. Don't mix with the unclean. Yet we find, you know, in the world, there's a lot of unclean things out there. We're just not to mix in there. But evidently some are coming out, learning. Some are really putting a right foot forward, doing those things which are pleasing Yahweh. Others may be having a show of that and not really doing so, but not being righteous, being goats. Some different ways of looking at some of these things. And I'm not saying that you have to see it my way or as I'm presenting it today, but I'm sharing the word as it's written and also as I think it can be looked upon and considered. But when we talk to others, sometimes they won't listen to us when we share the truth with them. Not all of those will come who are called, even though they are evidently given an understanding of the truth. From the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, we find something to meditate upon. Luke 16:26-31. Between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So you can't come over here, can't come over there. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. And he say, Nay, father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. In other words, some will just flat out refuse to listen to the truth, whether they're blind or not. Some people get a clue and they don't take it. They just reject it. And concerning this parable, you're welcome to read our study on this, because it goes a lot deeper than just this main point. But the simple point here is there are those who will not listen, period. And of course, we're warned not to throw our pearls before swine. I remember going to a man preaching on a soapbox, literally, and I went up to him. I said, you know what? No one is listening to you. And I mentioned the scripture about, you know, throwing your pearls before swine. He said, oh, I don't consider them swine. Well, what can you do? Just share. But he wasn't really telling the overall truth. He was telling some things that were true, other things weren't. Anyway, talked to him a little bit more and then left. I don't know if it would have helped or not, but felt compelled to go up to him because it was interesting to see him, and that no one was around listening to him. And I think we feel that way too. I mean, we talk to people, but you know, in general, they don't listen. But that's okay. And as we started out today, we recognize there's not that many here. But we also are encouraged by Yahshua's own words that, you know, two or three are gathered in his name, there he is. So he's here. No question about it. Because the word is true. And Yahshua is as true as his father. And the promises given are true. The Apostle Paul himself, having been called out of the world, puts in a nutshell our calling and opportunity. Romans 8 and verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. He's talking in general what the overall process is. Yahweh knew us, that have been baptized in Yahshua's name, knew us before we were born. How can we even understand that? But, you know, he knows, he's outside of time, and his plans are being worked out. And as creation came into being, time now exists for us. But he can look at time as a scroll rolled out, to see the end from the beginning. So will we be able to do that after we are changed? If we overcome to the end, will we be able to, outside of time, be able to see the end from the beginning? That'll be interesting. We don't know exactly what's going to be granted, but you know, as Yahshua is, we'll be like him. Can Yahshua see? You know, I think he can see a lot more than we do. Thankfully, you know, we're able to comprehend because of Yahweh and Yahshua caring for us, because they love us, because they're caring for us. And they're not trying to destroy us. They're not trying to harm us. They do allow us to go through certain things for our own good. And as a loving father will discipline, Yahweh, through Yahshua, disciplines us at times. That's okay. It's a process to prepare us, to test us, to be ready for what is coming. Because he's not going to have a repeat of Satan. I'm sure of it. I just don't think he's going to allow that again. No more suffering, no more pain. That is the promise. No more tears. Yahweh himself is going to come down and wipe away the tears after the kingdom has been established for 1,000 years. We read of that in Revelation 21. So these promises are things we can think about, hold on to, you know, whatever is profitable, whatever is of good report, you know, think about these things. There's a reason we need encouragement for times of trouble, because times of trouble do come. But Yahweh can see us through all of them, the Messiah. Will you accept the calling? Say yes to life, even eternal life. Isaiah 1:18-19. Come now, let us reason together, saith Yahweh. I remember some guy called one time. He called, he's real animated over the phone. He said, you know, let's reason together. We're to come together and reason. Well, the scripture actually says, Yahweh's saying this. Yahweh's saying, come and reason with him. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, Hebrew parallelism here, they shall be as wool, if ye be willing and obedient. Now it goes into another area of, you know, the verse there, but I'm thinking it applies to this, because our sins will be forgiven, our sins are in Messiah are forgiven, and we're white in the sense of, you know, as Yahweh sees us, we're clean. Our sins in the past have been red like crimson. We're like wool now, cleaned up. But it's still a process. We're to be blameless. We're to be spotless. And be prepared for that wedding to come. But it's a process if we're willing and are obedient. You know, yes, there's faith, there's belief. But yeah, there's something for us to do. And striving to overcome is one of those things that we end up doing. And it's not always pleasant. But it's good when we think ahead and say, well, that is going to be a temptation for me. I'm backing away from that, and I'm putting something to, you know, stop that. And I think these are promptings from Yahweh as well, to so that we will do the things that are right in his sight. And we're at different levels. We understand this. We were talking earlier about, you know, first coming in and, you know, first year or two, we're going to be a little different than we will be, you know, 5, 6, 7 years down the road. If we're growing, if we're maturing. And kind of reminds me of the tree that, you know, when you plant a fruit tree, you're not supposed to eat of the fruit thereof until you allow it to fall, and, you know, you allow the process to go. And I'm assuming some of the fruit is fertilizing the ground, and, you know, just thinking about the process of fruit trees. But I suppose that can relate to us as well. You know, after 3 years of being in the faith, it's an appropriate time to start really being able to teach others and such. You know, have that fruit out there being accepted by others. Just a thought. Some random thoughts are okay. Others we need to take captive. Make sure that we're not allowing our mind to wonder about things we shouldn't be wondering about. You know, but to think about those things which are pleasing to Yahweh. My wife was actually reading a book talking about how our minds, the brain itself, physically, it gets rewired. The neural pathways end up working different if you're thinking positively, if you're thinking about good things, like Scripture tells us, versus negative things, complaining and things. You know, there's negative consequences to wrong thinking, I guess is what the book was mentioning. I think Yahweh's word essentially says the same. And when we think about, you know, those going into the kingdom, what did we read? Did we read about, let me see if I can find it here real quick. about those being fearful or timid. I think it said something about those, about them not being acceptable to Yahweh. So we should be courageous in the sense that, you know, we believe in Yahweh's word and believe what it says and move forward. You know, this is a faith-based, we are a faith-based organization. We are a faith-based people, believing what Yahweh tells us. But there's action that we need to have involved with that faith. Yahweh is trustworthy. The promises are sure. If you are willing and obedient to the best of your ability, then Yahweh will help you and will be well pleased with you and help you in those areas that seem impossible to overcome. And there are some things in our lives that do seem impossible to overcome. After Yahshua told his disciples that it would be hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom, they were amazed and wondered who could be saved. And the answer he gave is our hope. Matthew 19, verse 26. Yahshua beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Elohim all things are possible. And Yahshua goes on to encourage us by saying in Matthew 19, 29, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mothers or, you know, wife, children, lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. So there is a cost involved, but the reward is beyond anything we could otherwise hope for in this life. And this life is so short. You know, read a biography or two. You read of someone's life and how it just went by. And we think of movies we've seen or people we've known and how, you know, some of them have passed. We think, well, wow, it seems just like yesterday, but it was like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So time, as the saying goes, flies, and before we know it, our time is up. So again, it gets back to making use of the time that we've been given. Appropriate to think about. In fact, isn't it Proverbs or Book of Ecclesia? It talks about, you know, going to a graveyard, looking at the grave sites, and considering our lives. They're temporary. What are we going to do with it? You know, the biographies that we read of people who have died, it's like, did their life express anything scriptural? Was it all worldly? You know, how will Yahweh look at their lives? How will they be judged? You know, it's not for us. We can't judge anybody in that way. Can't condemn, can't even say someone, well, we can say that those that overcome will be saved because that's what the Word tells us. And those that are immersed into Yahshua's name will be saved. That's what the Word tells us. But it's a process of overcoming to the end. So it's not once saved, always saved. It's a misnomer out in the world, that type of belief. Though time is running out and the end time judgment is approaching, there's still time to take action and to make your calling and election sure. Then you too will have the opportunity to say the psalmist's words. Psalms 118, 16 through 17. Yahweh's right hand is lifted high. Yahweh's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what Yahweh has done. This is truly prophetic for us who are in this process of overcoming to the end, to be able to say, if we overcome to the end, Yahweh's right hand, that is Yahshua, is lifted high. Yahweh's right hand, again, Yahshua, has done mighty things. I will not die, that is a second death in him, but live and will proclaim that Yahweh, proclaim what Yahweh has done forevermore. Again, there are plain prophecies and some subtle given in the Old Testament about events we see today and some which are yet to come. And there are parables with prophecies of, you know, of course, the end time judgments explained within them, just as there are prophecies of rewards and eternal life for those overcoming to the end. Consider the severity of ignoring Yahweh and his ways, and alternatively, paying attention and accepting his call to repent and be obedient to him now, accepting his son's sacrificial blood, which covers us from the death penalty. The time is now. As the voice from heaven says, Revelation 18:4, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. A direct correlation, cause and effect. If we participate in the sins, then we will receive of the plagues. It's that simple. It's a warning from Yahweh, essentially, to his people, to us. The warning is announced. The time is now to choose. Will we have ears to hear? And will we choose life over death? I hope we do. Praise Yahweh.